Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, we're in the second part of this consideration of a godly greeting. So let's read. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Last time, as we considered the first part of this greeting, verses 2 through 6, we paid particular attention to Paul's prayer for the Philippians, where Paul didn't just pray frequently and fervently, Paul prayed with joy for them. He prayed with joy because he remembered them intentionally and with affection. He prayed with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. And he prayed with joy because he was confident that God, who had begun a good work in each one of them, would be faithful to complete the individual and collective good purposes and plans. So all that God had purposed, he would complete. Paul's joy was because of the Lord, not his circumstances. In the natural, in the circumstances around him, there was no real reason for joy. He was imprisoned. He was writing to a group of people who had been nasty to him, who had flogged and imprisoned and done all sorts of things against him. But here he is speaking of the joy of the Lord and praying for these believers with great joy. So that's what we were considering the previous time as we were looking at this passage. Now in verses 7 through 11, Paul explains why he feels love and affection for the Philippians, and then states three specific prayers that he prays for them. And in explaining his feelings, he seems to be defending his motivation. Maybe others had said to Paul, you shouldn't be loving the Philippians so much. We're pretty sure they don't love you or pray for you the way that you seem to be loving and praying for them. They're not like you. They are, for the most part, or entirely, not Jews. And there are even Roman soldiers amongst them. They'll let you down. They'll disappoint you. They're not deserving of love and forgiveness based on their past. Some of them incited the authorities to flog and imprison you. So these may have been some of the statements that Paul heard about the Philippians. But what does Paul say? And probably in response to why he shouldn't love the Philippians, what does he say? He says, it is right for me to feel this way, to feel this affection for them. Why? Because Paul had the Philippians in his heart. It wasn't circumstantial. He wasn't looking at them and saying, they did this for me or they didn't do this for me, and here are all the circumstances. No. He wasn't basing his affection for his believers, his fellow believers, his brothers and sisters, based on the circumstances, but because by the power of God, he had them in his heart. Paul had deliberately set about thinking well of them. He had wanted to hold them close because they shared in God's grace with him. Paul loved the Philippians because they shared in God's saving grace. Both he and they were saved by the same grace of God. And he says, because of that, we are made equal at the foot of the cross. We were equally guilty of sin, but now we have been equally redeemed from destruction by the same body and blood of the Lord that we commemorate this morning even. Paul is pointing to the things of God, and he says, because of the grace of God, I hold you in my heart. Paul loved the Philippians because they shared in God's ongoing grace, not just the saving grace that initiated them in the Lord, but also his ongoing grace, which empowered them to grow in faith and wisdom and love, building the relationship with God and with others. And so Paul holds them in his heart. The question that I want to ask you and the consideration that we have is this: every time we think of our brothers and our sisters, are we filled with the affection of Christ Jesus for one another? Think of the primary characteristics of Christ's affection for us. The Lord Jesus Christ longs to set us free from sin and be reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus longs for us to inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus longs for us to be filled with his presence and his person, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus longs for us to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be corrected and disciplined, to be transformed into his image, to become like him. The Lord Jesus longs for us to do on earth what he did during his earthly ministry. The Lord Jesus longs for us to co-labor with him in the harvest field, to share the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God and God's salvation with everyone so that none may perish. The Lord Jesus longs to build each of us as his members of his body, the church. The Lord Jesus longs for us to love each other the way that he loves us, so that the world may know that we are Christians, and in doing so, they may know the Lord. The Lord Jesus longs in all these ways for us to be coming into what he has purposed for us. He has set us free so that we will come into this freedom, into this life that he has ordained. And so that's what Paul is longing for the other believers. Every time we think of our brothers and our sisters, we are to long for them in this way. We are to pray for them in this way. We are to say, oh Lord God, I want to see my brother being fulfilled in his purpose and his plan. I want to see my sister being raised up and built up and strengthened to fulfill her purpose and plan in you. Every time we think of our brothers and sisters, are we filled with the affection of Christ Jesus that longs to see each other fulfilled in all that Christ intends for us, which would lead us to say or to consider, can we, like Paul, say with confidence that God can testify how we long for each other with the affection of Christ Jesus? That's what Paul says. He says, God can testify that I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. That's quite a statement. You're calling God to testify on your behalf. You better be confident that you're doing that. You better not say, well, God can speak for me. Well, yes, God can speak for you. The Lord, who knows the very intents and motivations of our hearts, can speak for you. And it is that same God who sees us in our entirety, who knows exactly what we're thinking, that Paul says, God can testify of me that I have you in my heart, that I long for you in these ways, that I'm affectionate for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Wow. That's the statement that is made. That's the example that's being set. That is the challenge for us, that we would be able to say, this is how I love my brother and my sister. Because Paul loves his brothers and sisters, he prays for three specific outcomes of their lives in Christ, which means that we can similarly pray, not just with joy, but with love for one another, that we would pray with love for one another to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. That's what Paul says. He says, I am praying for you. I'm praying with joy, but I'm praying with love that you would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Think about that. We are called to be people of God who are not following a blind faith, but who have this deep knowledge of God and the ways of God. We have a depth of insight. We are given the very knowledge and insight of God Himself to live our lives. So we don't live purposeless lives. We don't live aimlessly. Paul says, I don't fight as if beating the air. I am purposeful. I run with determination the race that is set before me. I know the path that the Lord has for me. So whatever decisions we're trying to make, whatever season of life we're in, whatever change is at hand, whatever lies before us that we are uncertain about, whatever is causing us to be anxious, whatever is causing us to question whether we've made the right choices until now, we can be confident of this, that the Lord will give us the knowledge we need, the wisdom that we need, the depth of insight that we need. He will reveal His way to us, and He will lead us in His path so that our foot does not stumble. That's the assurance of the Word of God. That's the confidence and hope that we can have. That's the joy that we have. And that's the way we can pray for one another. So that when we pray, we don't just say, oh, God bless them, bless him, bless them. You know, we tend to use that phrase and overuse that, right? God bless them, God bless them, right? But what is it that we want them, what the Lord to bless them with? Well, one of those things is that we say, Lord, bless them with great knowledge, insight, open their eyes. As they're considering something, give them the wisdom that they need. Help them to know how to proceed. If they're going in for a job interview, give them, Lord, the insight to answer those questions appropriately. Lord, give them the favor that they need. Lord, go before them. Open the way before them. Lord, have your way in my brother, in my sister. We pray in these ways that the love of the Lord would be extended to give us knowledge and depth of insight. The second thing, we pray with love for one another to discern what is best and to be pure so that we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Think about that. That we're not just praying for people to be blessed and have the knowledge and insight how to run a business, do whatever else, you know, do the project at work, you know, make sure the release goes smoothly. We're not just praying for those things, knowledge and depth of insight. We are praying that every one of our brothers and sisters will be able to discern, distinguish between good and evil, will know what is right and what is wrong. We're saying, Lord, open their eyes so that they will not just have wisdom and knowledge about what is seen, but they will have the discernment, the spiritual discernment that is necessary to know what to do with what is unseen, to discern the spiritual forces of wickedness, to know what temptations lie before them, to understand the traps that may be there, the snares of the devil. The deceptions that may be before them, the things that they could step into very easily and then therefore be led astray. So we pray in that way and we say, Lord God, let my brother and my sister grow in discernment. Let them sharpen their spiritual senses, as Hebrews tells us, that we may be able to distinguish, discern between good and evil. So we pray in that way. For what purpose? So that we will, with the knowledge and insight, combined with this discernment, select or choose the right things of the Lord so that we may be pure and blameless until His coming, preserved in the Lord Jesus. We're not preserved, by the way, we're not preserved in our way because of our good works, because of our goodness. We're preserved by the Lord Jesus. But we are preserved in the way Because we have discerned the way and we keep in step with the Spirit. When we step out of that way, when we make ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy and of the cares of this world, we have that tendency to fall, to stumble, to fall away. But when we stay in the way through our discernment and understanding of what the Lord is asking us to do, He preserves and continues to build us up to continue in the way. And so the Lord wants us to pray for one another, to be discerning, so that we would be pure and blameless. Pure, the purity of life comes from the obedience to the Lord Jesus in what He tells us to do. It's not because we keep the law, as we have been learning as we went through Galatians. It's not because we are able to maintain our righteousness. Look at me, God, look at me, how good I am, how holy I am, how pure I am. I deserve your blessing. No, rather we say, Lord God, I thank you that because you have done what you have done by cleansing me with your blood, I am kept pure. I confess my sins. I come to you and appropriate the blood of Jesus. I appropriate your sanctification of me. And then I am blameless, as David describes it in the Psalms, I am blameless when there is no unconfessed sin, when there is no willing sin. I am bringing them to the Lord. I am bringing all my sins to the Lord and saying, Lord, you cleanse me and you renew me. It's not that we don't sin, but that when we do sin, we quickly come to the Lord and walk blamelessly before Him. The past being cleared, the consequences being dealt with, all of the purity of the Lord being upon us, the washing clean of us. And then we are able to pray with love for one another to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what are we praying for one another? We are praying that our brothers and our sisters will bear the spiritual fruit that the Lord has called us to bear. And in particular, we will bear the fruit of righteousness, that right standing before God. The fact that the Lord takes us, makes us His own, places us in the way, and gives us the purpose and the plan, and shows us how we must proceed. As we grow in that, as we are obedient to the Lord wants us to bear the fruit of righteousness. What happens to fruit? It is consumed by the person or other who benefits from that. It is food to them. It is the glory of God to them. It is for the praise of God. And so we bear the fruits of righteousness for the benefit of others. And so Paul is praying in all these ways and saying, Lord God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. And so he's writing to the Philippians and saying, look, you're in my heart. I have set you in my heart. It's not because of you doing all the right things and of you responding back to me. It's not a contractual thing. You know, I'm going to teach the word to you, and if you do this back for me, then I'll hold you in my heart. He says, no, I hold you in my heart. And I pray for you with great affection. It is right for me to feel this way. Why? Because that's the affection that Christ Jesus has shown to me. The unconditional love of the Lord. The fact that He redeems me when I was in the worst of my sin. The fact that He builds me up and calls me forward and moves me in these ways. Oh, I thank you, Lord. And because of that, I can now love my brothers and my sisters. And this affection that I have for them, this pure affection, this agape love, not of the things of this world, but motivated by the love of Christ, is so clean, pure, right, and proper that I can say, Paul can say, God Himself testifies of me that I have the affection of Christ Jesus for you. What a testimony. Which brings us to our point of application, that we will be people who respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by praying with joy and praying with love for each other. And then we'll be able to greet each other like Paul did every time we see each other. Because when we see each other, when the Lord brings each other to mind, what should we pray for? We don't have to be wondering about that. Here are all the examples. Here are all the things that we can do. Here are all the ways in which we can build one another up. Here's the way in which we can say, I stand with you. I am with you. I am there. I know what the Lord is doing in your life, and I am supporting you within it because I'm praying for you in these ways. What better way could we pray for each other? What better way could we love one another? Remember, when we talked about joy, we said it is to remember each other. It is to be prompted by the Lord. You know, we may be prompted by the Lord for all sorts of things, but if we're paying attention, He will prompt you about your brothers and your sisters. You will have that sense, I need to just pray for this person. I need to go visit this person. I need to reach out to this person. I need to do whatever that the Lord is showing you when you're prompted by Him to be obedient to that and to say, for my brother, for my sister, I'm going to remember them. And then I'm going to partner with them for the gospel, for the spreading of the word of God. I'm going to encourage them, and they're going to encourage me to complete this race that the Lord has set us on and to be purposeful about what the Lord intends for us, because the Lord will complete what He has initiated. Now, as we're talking about the love of God that will motivate us, we want to love our brothers and sisters to know the way of the Lord, to prepare for the Lord's coming, and to glorify and praise the Lord. That's our call. That's what we want to do daily, regularly. Every time we come together in fellowship, we want to say, Lord, my brother, my sister, keep going, because the Lord is at work in you, because He loves you so much. He wants you to be prepared for His coming and to be pure and blameless before Him. Grow in discernment. Let me encourage you to sharpen your discernment. Let me continue to encourage you to glorify and praise the Lord. You see, Paul's godly affection for the Philippians, if you read these verses and you think, wow, he really likes the Philippians. But it wasn't just the Philippians. He was writing to the Corinthians like this, and to the Thessalonians, and to the folks in Ephesus. And this is not an isolated emotion. And this was not restricted to Paul. It was all of the apostles, and it was all of the children of God, as flawed as they were and as short with all their shortcomings, they were learning and they were understanding that the purpose of God was to love each other in these ways, which is why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a ringing gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have absolute faith so as to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and exult in the surrender of my body but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no account of wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be restrained. Where there is knowledge, it will be dismissed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial passes away. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I set aside childish ways. Now we see but a dim reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In this particular season of the year, as the world even commemorates Christmas, it is an opportunity for us to remember the love, the joy, the peace, the faith, the hope, all of those attributes of the Lord Jesus, and that are manifested in absolute tangible ways as He came into this world and walked on this earth as fully man and fully God. Oh, we have this joy that is set before us to say, oh Lord God, we thank You. We thank You that You lived out this life of joy. We thank you that you lived out this life of love. And because of that, oh, we can receive from you and we can share it with our brothers and our sisters. We want to pray for that, church. Through these next few weeks, even as we complete this calendar year, we want these truths to be reinforced in us. And we start out the new year, we want to pray these truths into our church. And we want to pray for that kind of a reality in the fellowship of the saints in this church. When somebody visits the church, when someone seeks to find out what the church is about, when someone wants to be a part of this local assembly, there are so many great local churches, so many local assemblies, but if they are called to be a part of this local assembly, this local church, they must know that we are people who pray with joy for one another. They must know that we are people who pray with love for one another. Love that is not according to the standards of the world, but love according to the word that we have just read. Loving the unlovable, loving those who cannot or may not reciprocate, loving according to God's love for us. Because ultimately, the story of Christmas and the story of the gospel is this, that God loved us unconditionally. That when we had no reason, we had nothing in us that qualified us to be saved. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't keep the law and therefore gain enough merit points to be able to get this free gift. Instead, the Lord reached out to us, loved us when we were unlovable, loved us when we could not reciprocate, loved us when we did let him down, loved us when we were enemies of the Lord and the gospel. And he loved us anyway. And he brought us to himself so that anybody who receives that gift of love, anyone who would respond to his message and say, I believe, I accept, I receive, that they would be saved, that they would be redeemed. In just a few minutes, we will participate in the Lord's Supper and we will commemorate his sacrifice for us on the cross. But he came into the world as a man to go to the cross. And he went to the cross so that he would be resurrected. And when he was resurrected, he said, oh, it is good for you that I go away from the earth because I will send the Holy Spirit. Through the rest of this year and as we go into the next year, you'll hear me say this a few more times now and you'll hear me building to this. We want to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for the Lord to empower us according to this word. It is not sufficient for us to simply read the word and understand it. It is necessary for us to read the word and to apply it. And as we apply the word of God, as we say, Lord, this word has to become real in us, it will manifest in all sorts of different ways. The testimonies will continue to pour in, not just of what the Lord is doing in our lives individually, but what he's doing in our lives collectively. How he's moving, what he's doing to touch each one of us and to cause us to live with the affection of Christ Jesus for one another. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord, for your word and for, Lord, just this godly greeting that Paul makes, that Paul brings to the believers in Philippi. We thank you, Lord, that he does it with such purpose, with such clarity, with such confidence, that the affection that he bears for them, that you yourself, Lord, would testify that that is true, that is the case. I pray, Lord, that we would learn, that we would apply, that we would be, Lord, affectionate to our brothers and our sisters, that we would care deeply about what's happening in their lives, that we would support them, that, Lord, the local church, the fellowship of the saints, the fellowship of believers, the opportunity to stand with a specific group of brothers and sisters on a regular basis, that we would long for that, Lord, that we would just be eager to participate in every way with that group of people and to say, Lord, build us up. Make us one. Lead us out. Help us to go out and fulfill your purpose and plan. Help us to reach our neighborhood, people living within a 15 to 20 minute driving distance of this church campus. Help us, Lord, to reach out to people in our neighborhood locally. Lord, just the homes of the people that are right beside us. Maybe some people that we've never even met. But help us to invite them. Help us to reach out to them. Help us to love them with the love of God. I thank you, Jesus, that as we do that, Lord, as godly affection, Lord, as divine love, Lord, continues to transform us and enables us to reach out to others. I thank you, Lord, that the world will see it, the world will know it, and they will glorify and praise you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.